And welcome into the Friday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Fraser here with you on this Friday morning. Ian Safar is out today. Hope everybody's off to a wonderful start on this Friday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I heard a pretty good amount of the show yesterday. Sounded like Kaharski did okay.
Yeah, he was fine.
Didn't say too much stupid stuff, which is a win for him, so good.
It's always my goal.
Yeah.
We almost made it the whole show without any Mike McCoy audio.
So when Ian did Mike McCoy audio for the rant, was that intentionally to trigger Paul, or he just forgot about it?
You know, I think he forgot about it, but it may have been intentional.
Yeah.
He did a very good job of making it seem like he forgot about it.
I'm going to choose to believe that he did that on purpose.
You know, I kind of am too.
Which I totally support, by the way.
I applaud.
Yes.
As did the entire text line, by the way. It was like, yeah, let's play some more. Let's get as much Mike McCoy in there as we possibly can. So good stuff from Ian yesterday.
Good question, Paul. Thank you. Thank you for the question, Paul.
Thank you.
We're going to punt.
Thank you, Paul. We're going to punt from our own five. Or from the opponent's five.
Yeah, there you go.
I hope you punt from your own five.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yep. Nick Fraser. Welcome to the program this morning. How are we doing? What's going on?
Doing all right. I was chatting with you before Rexford came in. Primetime football games for me are not great anymore. I'm turning into the 97-year-old man in a 27-year-old body because I fall asleep after the first quarter and wake up at like 10:45 and the game's over. I'm wondering, well, what the hell do I do now? I try to go back to sleep, can't go back to sleep. So, yeah, I went to bed around 2 a.m. and now I'm up and going. So. Yeah.
2 a.m., jeez.
Yeah, I just couldn't fall back asleep. I threw darts. I did everything.
Oh, my gosh. That's the worst.
Rough night with the toddler last night. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Well,
good stuff.
I feel bad. I got a nice night's sleep.
I'm glad you did.
I just went to bed at halftime of the game. That's pretty much what I do on Thursdays. But I see that the Bills lost again. So
That's a large win for the Houston Texans, who it looked at one point like they were totally out of it, and now are, you know, playoffs are on the horizon for them.
Yeah.
By the way, Buffalo now down to the sixth seed at 7-4. Jacksonville at 6-4, holding on to the 7. Houston at 6-5, holding on to the 8. And we'll see what Kansas City does this weekend at 5-5.
So Houston has a defense that absolutely should be in the playoffs. It's a legit big-time defense. And they're starting to play better on offense. I assume C.J. Stroud's back next game. If he doesn't play well and they lose, like, are we actually talking about your guy?
What more do you want from him?
In some sort of a serious manner. I mean, I think it's kind of ridiculous to say that, but at the same time, he's playing pretty well.
I hope Texans fans realize how lucky they are to have Davis Mills as an option to lead this sucker while C.J. Stroud's out. I mean, last night he wasn't great, but he did throw for two touchdowns, 53% completion percentage. Want to see it go up a little bit?
Want to
see it go up?
Yeah, there you go.
But I mean, three in a row, he's coming there and he's won. For them. It's pretty
it's
good
interesting.
Stuff.
I mean, as much as Stroud was struggling, I think you're taking a leap to think that there'd actually be a QB competition. But like Stroud would be like, he needs to play well.
Yeah,
as far as, like they have something going here without him. And I never really thought he was the problem, but their offense has gotten better. So what you hope is, if you're a Texans fan, is of course some of the things that have gotten better just get even that much better when he comes back in. And Bills, man, Bills. Whew. I mean, the Patriots are going to win that division.
Yeah.
I didn't, even when they won that game at Buffalo, I'm like, yeah, Buffalo will get them back. But no, I mean, the Patriots are in
they're going to win
good
that
shape.
Division. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty wild. You know, we talked about this briefly yesterday. It is a pretty, in the grand scheme of like NFL interest and playoff picture in the AFC, pretty darn big game this weekend between the Colts and the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Chiefs at home at 5-5. Backs, you know. Not necessarily against the wall. It's not like if they lose, they're eliminated. But it makes it hard with everything else going on around them right now. So, big game in the AFC this weekend.
Yeah, I still fully believe they're going to be in the playoffs. They have some more winnable games after this. This is a big one, I think. And I also, like, I don't think they're going to win the division now, you know, after the loss to Denver. I mean, so this is one of those where it's like, you know, you kind of need to – make a little statement. And again, I don't know if the Colts are really a contender. You know, this is one of those games that helps you find out. A Chiefs team that's pretty desperate on the road. But, yeah, Kansas City needs to pick it up. I I thought that maybe once they got their once they got Rice back, maybe they'd really take off. But they're still kind of, you know, just kind of what they've been really the last couple of years.
Yeah,
Not nearly the scary offense they used to have.
Well, Charles made the point yesterday, Chris Jones really hasn't looked like the same Chris Jones. And look, at some point, with all the guys that they've had and all the football they've played, I mean, it's gonna have a cumulative effect. I mean, it's not like Chris Jones is some young guy out there anymore. So we'll see what happens on that front this weekend. We got a lot to get to on the program today. A lot coming up on the Titans front. We got Teron Davenport that will be with us. In the 8 o'clock hour, we'll get in some college football. In the 7 o'clock hour, a lot of things going on the program here today. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. We begin with an interview that Barry Trotz did yesterday on DVD, and it was a long one, as we've come to expect from Barry Trotz. I think it was over 30 minutes that he was on the radio with the guys yesterday, and he talked about a lot of different things. But obviously, you know, one of the main things I think Predators fans were looking forward to hearing about was Andrew Brunette. He's still here, still the head coach of the Nashville Predators. And we've talked a lot over the past week or so about the timing and the schedule and that if making a coaching change was on the radar, you know, earlier this week, probably would have been a good time to do it. And Barry Trotz was asked about the coaching staff, was asked about Andrew Brunette, and the job that they're doing and why they're still here. And here is what Barry Trotz had to say yesterday with DVD.
Well, very simply, a little bit of I believe our coaches have done a really good job. A record may not show it, but they are coaching their butts off. And, you know, it's the easy thing to, as I said in the past, it's the easy thing to do. This is a shared responsibility with the players, myself, and the coaching staff. So I put a little bit more on the a shared responsibility. So from a player standpoint, we need more from we went out and got some players the last couple of years to add a little bit of offense, and they've come up a little bit dry in the front end. We've restructured our defense, got a lot younger on the back end. We've got five guys that are basically 25 years and younger, so there's not a lot of experience there. But at the same time, we feel that there's a lot of growth for them. So our plan hasn't changed, and the coaches and the management and even the players have been part of the plan that we are in a little bit of a blend mode, and we were going to add some young guys. So that's my answer to that, is that that's the easy thing to do. If I didn't think the coaches were coaching and trying to make the players better and putting in the time and the effort, then I would make a change. That's not anything. A little bit is, it falls on all three parties. So
that was Barry Trotz yesterday explaining why he has not made a change at head coach with Andrew Brunette. Joe, what's your reaction to what Barry Trotz had to say there?
Well, my reaction to that is, okay, then I'm just, to me, it's a non-issue the rest of the year. And again, I'll say that, and then we'll just be surprised out of nowhere. And again, maybe they go in such a tailspin that it's like, okay, like it's too much, too negative, whatever. But it's how he perceives it. It's not how we perceive it. It's not how the fans perceive it. I mean, my takeaway is, okay, well, Andrew Brunette's getting the year. And some Preds fans, I think, are going to be angry by that, are probably angry by those comments. I get it. I get it in terms of the do something, show us show us that, like, you're upset that there's accountability. Again, like Vingan said, which, again, I didn't necessarily agree with, but I understand the mindset. But, you know, I also really can't summon that much outrage about Andrew Brunette not being fired. I mean, I don't think it's going to change anything. So, you know, I guess I would assume it would happen after this year. But, you know,
maybe.
That's the thing. I mean, as much as things are going to change, maybe in Trotz's mind, it's like, well, now it'll be perfect because he'll be coaching this younger team, and that's what I thought he'd be good at anyway. I have no idea. But I don't think he's going to be fired this year.
The one thing that he said there that I really take issue with, and I don't think is a very good job by him of reading the room right now, I think that there is a large and growing gap between how he says things and how he views things and what his consumer base looks like. There is a big gap, and it's getting larger. I took a big issue in that in the first part of that clip there where you saying the coaches are doing a really good job. You can still believe in the coaches. That's fine. You can still think deep down that Andrew Brunette long-term is the coach for this team. And you can even, I guess, really believe they're doing a good job. But they've won six of their first 20 games. Don't tell me they're sitting there doing a really good job. I'm sorry. Like, you can't say that.
Yeah. Well, if the coaching their butts off, it's like, I mean, it reminds me a little bit of, I think it was near the end for Vrabel, and he's talking about, you know, how long the hours are. It's like, yeah, okay. That goes with it, man. Like, that should just be assumed. I mean, honestly, I don't even like people going nuts about like Cam Ward showing up at 5 a.m. Okay. I mean, stuff like that is that should you're the outlier to me. You're going to stand out for not doing that.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, it's they're like 31st
when,
in the league.
Like when teams do like charity work, that's what you're supposed to do. Okay. Yeah. It's not news. I mean, and so, yeah, the coach is coaching their butts off. Okay.
Yeah. Like
that, you're right. That a comment like that, that is going to, for the people especially who are like, please do something, that's going to make them more angry.
Yeah, like I would not have said that if I was him. And like I said, I'm largely with you and from the standpoint of I just think they're bad. I don't think they're a good team. And he mentioned at one point in the interview that could he fire Andrew Brunette and would he get a coaching bump? He said probably. He's like, it'd probably be about 5 or 10 games where you'd get a bump. So that tells me, I mean, he looks at the roster.
So he knows they're bad.
Yeah, he knows they're bad. Yeah. So, again, that's fine. I don't have any problem with that because if you listen, we knew that heading into the season. I mean, they're not going to be very good, and we all knew that. But you can't when you're 6-10-4 through 20 games, tell your fan base that the coach and the coaching staff are doing a, quote, really good job. I'm sorry. That cannot happen. So I thought that was a big misstep from him yesterday. And again, like, look, this is clearly going to be a process that's going to take a while. I think we all know that. We talked about that earlier this week. I can't assign a percentage to it. I'm sure there are some Predators fans out there that know that this is going to take a while and I guess don't have that big of an issue with not making a coaching change right now. I do know there are a lot of people that do have an issue with it, and I just thought that was – the way he said that yesterday, I was like, that is not going to go over well. And it didn't, by the way. Did not go over well with Predators fans.
How's Preds Facebook doing with that? Yeah. I haven't checked in on them lately.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, look, it's – I think for people who are really invested, again, I don't think it's – I agree with what he said because I think we all agree what the limitations are here with the team. But, like, if you're someone who's really invested as a fan, it's like – I get the idea of like change something, change something, make it look different. Try it. Why not?
Well, and in the same breath, like he was talking about the players, and he's like, well, they're not producing all that much, and it's like, well, yes, that's also like kind of the job of the coach as well. Like it just, I thought there's a whole lot of things there that if you just take a look at what he said, I was like, it's not going to go well with the Predators fan base. 615-737-1025. Is our phone number, 615-737-1025. A lot more thoughts to get to on the Barry Trotz front. We will do that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Okay, you just told me something. So this is now two shocking stats that you have uttered on this show the last 2 days. In the interview with Charles yesterday, I had no idea. That Ward is on pace to be sacked 70 times.
70 times. He's already at 41.
My God. Just like Charles, yeah, I was like, yeah, I mean, like 55. It was bad.
70.
Bad. 70. And he just said Saros' save percentage down to .892?
That's correct at the moment.
My goodness. After, like, the, you know, surprisingly and pleasantly surprisingly good start, he's at .892.
Yeah. Skarov at .905.
Deep sigh. You know, if the coaches are doing a really good job, Because again, it's like it's just in pro sports, like it's just your record as well. Yeah, like you just can't get stray too far from what your record is in terms of performance. Again, it's like an awesome interaction I had with Mike Vrabel. You know, I said, asked him to evaluate his first coaching year. He's like, "Well, we won 9 and we lost 7. Next." And I was like, "Well, okay, I mean, that's fair." You know,
thanks, Mike.
Yeah, but I mean, that's so. But if that's your evaluation that they're doing a really good job, then what kind of a job are you doing if you're Barry Trotz? Well, I mean, is that what you're saying? Basically, you're saying they're doing a really good job with a horrific team I gave them.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because Adam Vingan basically asked him that. You know, he went back to, if you'll remember, a few years ago after they had gotten beaten by, I believe, Colorado and just swept in the first round. David Poyle, at the end of that year, talking about John Hines, basically said, you know, I didn't really give him enough. Didn't really do a good enough job of putting a roster together for him to really compete. So Adam's question was basically like, "Hey, what about you? Like, what kind of a job are you doing for your coach to give him a chance to compete?" Here's what Barry Trotz had to say on that front.
Well, I would say, especially at center ice, I think that's something that we all tried to fix, but we were unable to. So there, as you see, there's not a lot of movement at the center ice position. Throughout the league. No, it's not the strongest hand, no question. And we've talked about it even before you were in the position you are now, Adam, that we were going to have a plan where we were going to get into a blend and hopefully stay a little more relevant than we have been. So the plan hasn't changed. That's part of the whole process, is that you're going to go through cycles. And we are in that cycle right now where, you know, we're going to keep continuing to add young players to our lineup.
So that was Barry Trotz on that front. And it said right off the hop there, Joe, the thing, I mean, their center ice depth is horrible. And we've talked about that a lot, right? Like they have probably, if not the worst, among the worst center ice group in the league. And Svechkov came up a lot in that interview yesterday of, you know, he's got 1 point in 18 games. It is just, it's not gone well for him. And I don't know that it's beyond just the points thing. Like, he just looks totally invisible out there. Like, there's been no impact on the game from Svechkov. So, you know, that is where all this kind of starts right now, right? Of, in terms of today's roster, their center ice just gives them no chance. And that's why I said earlier this week, this is not getting significantly better as the year goes on. I mean, there's a limitation on what you can do when your center ice is as bad as theirs is right now.
Brian says the coaches coaching their butts off comment is, "Ran, the ball didn't bounce our way." Yeah, that's an interesting.
It's not good. Yeah, I of the things that I knew Predators fans would take issue with of his interview yesterday, some of them I agree with, some of them I don't. But when he said that, I was like, Barry, you cannot say that. Not right now.
We got to play John L. Smith from 2004 at Ohio State today. I'll find it for you, Nick.
The players are playing their butts off. The coaches are screwing it up.
Oh God, it's so amazing. I can't get out of my mind now. You know, if we really want to nitpick Barry too, and really parse these words, you know, in that clip we just played, he's talking about the blend and all that stuff, and like, you know, we were hoping to stay. What did he say? A little bit relevant? Is that what he said?
Something like that. Yeah.
And it's also like, again, I mean, I guess, was that really the plan? Was that really the idea, just to be like, just be on the fringe still and not lose people completely and then eventually be good with the young guys? I mean, to me, you made moves to be like good.
Yeah, I keep going back to a couple of things, and that's what makes this conversation. I understand it when Predators fans say that they kind of feel like he's talking out of both sides of his mouth sometimes. And I don't know that he necessarily means to, but like, I do think back to when they signed all these guys and the day, like that day he was talking about how like they did it to be a threat, right? Like, he wants to be a threat. Adams brought this up a billion times, and I agree. Like, there's no way they got Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marzo and all these guys to sign here and told them, "Hey, we're hoping to kind of hang around for a little while until our next core comes in.
Can you keep us on the fringe of the playoffs?
Yeah.
What do you say? Let's do it."
So, I understand that, you know, things change and your plan changes. And I'm sure, you know, I know because the players have said it. And the conversation heading into this year was different. Like they know where they are as a team, which is why I think, you know, eventually here in a few weeks and months, a lot of guys are not here anymore. So we'll see what happens on that front. But it just another thing that keeps coming up in these interviews is he talks about it over and over again. And I understand the idea of, like, I don't want to do a rebuild. Like, I don't want to just wander through the wilderness. But right now you kind of are, yeah, unintentionally, right? Yeah. Like you were
hurtling.
Horrible.
You're
last
hurtling
year.
Toward it. Yes.
Yeah, like you were horrible last year. And I get it. Like the draft lottery didn't fall your way. Right now you're 31st in the league. So I know you're not intending to go through a rebuild, but you kind of are. And you're doing it with a bunch of old dudes out there.
Right. And so the disillusioned Preds fan who finally and understandably got sick of, okay, you've been trying to run it back and keep it together and get back to that level, but basically it's just the mushy middle and I'm sick of it. So now, like, you're doing a lot of the same things, but you're not even there.
Yeah.
And I understand. I mean, look, there is a, like, there are two timelines. I mean, obviously they've been stockpiling, but then I also personally have my own skepticism about, okay, tell me how many of these guys are going to be great players. Because I know that there's some guys who are going to be NHL players, but that's not a problem. Do you have any difference makers?
Well, I don't think there are two timelines anymore. There has been.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I know what you're saying. But that's my point. Like, there has been two timelines, but now we're pretty rapidly moving to one, right? Like, there's no other option. Like, they are just, this is not going to work on this timeline. Which, again, goes back to, like, okay, so what's the coach doing? You got the goalie. You got all these guys. I mean, some of these guys are going to get moved here coming up. And then it's going to be what he talked about a lot in the interview yesterday is, well, how good is Igor Seren? Matthew Wood's here. When's Molendijk coming up? Like, they've got a lot of young guys, but I'm with you. I think they've got a lot of young guys that have a chance to be good players. How many of them can be franchise players? And I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
You have to have some. Because obviously you can get to a certain point and then, you know, you're going to have a young team, you're going to have cap space, you can go out and do this again, you know. But some of them have to be. And again, Matthew Wood it's encouraging, but, like, you need more than that. And honestly, to me, it's like a move like Saros. That would be one of the things where, again, depending on the return and all that stuff, you would hope it would be ample, but that's one of those things where, one, you're obviously signaling it, and you're probably admitting a mistake, but at least that's something that maybe could help make up for it and accelerate things.
615-737-1025, our phone number. I tell you what we'll do. A lot of your thoughts to get to on the Barry Trotz front. We'll do that coming up next. We will get into the Titans and Cam Ward as well. Rex Road with some thoughts on that I do want to get into. So we will do all of that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. A lot of your reaction to get to on the Barry Trotz front from his interview yesterday with DVD. We will do that now. David on the text line says, I think for a lot of Preds fans, including myself, Trotz knew Poile never fully committed to a rebuild in his last years, and he had a chance to finally completely reverse course. But he maintained status quo. It just extended the impending rebuild by 2 to 3 seasons. Michael says, how are you ever going to know if any of these young guys are good if they only get brought up to play fourth-line minutes or be healthy scratched by the coach who is, quote, doing a great job? Wood is the only one in recent memory for me who has come up and played a significant role outside of the fourth line. Well, I will say that is not true.
That's not true at all.
Svechkov was their second line center to start the year.
I'd argue the other way.
And
Tommy Novak, second line center.
Right. Like, there's a lot of these young guys, by the way, just aren't very good and had gone well. And look, I'm not saying that about Svechkov yet.
They gave Tomasino top 6 opportunities, plenty of them.
Yeah. Well,
or he was in Milwaukee because he wasn't even close to being ready for that. And then look where he is.
Right. And right now, like recently, how many young guys have they had? Not very many when you look at it. Like Svechkov, they've had some young guys on defense. But like forward-wise, like LaRue, like I don't know if LaRue is ever going to be anything more than like a bottom 6 type player. Like Weisblatt's young, but he's a bottom 6 type player. So of their, like, the guys that they look at as top 6 potential skill guys, like Kemmel hasn't really been here yet, so he hasn't gotten that chance yet. And Svechkov has. Like, Svechkov has been in the top 6, and by the way, It just hadn't gone well, and now he's all the way down the fourth line this year, and he should be. I mean, he probably, frankly, shouldn't be in the lineup right now with how bad he's been.
Yeah, look, like go back to Tomasino. Again, I totally get it if you're a Preds fan. First-round pick, get him in there. We asked poor David Poile to come on this show like once a week and have us like find different ways to ask him where the hell Tomasino is, right?
He joked about it a lot.
Yeah. So now can we all acknowledge like the problem is that he wasn't good.
Yeah.
Like the problem isn't like what they did with him. You do whatever you want with him. He's not good enough. And there's just way too many stories like that. That's the problem to me. And that's where, again, my skepticism is. And I'm just looking at Kemel, and it's like, you know, you keep an open mind. He's young, but, like, go through all the stories like that, you know, with this organization, with forwards. And I just have my doubts.
Well, it's time for Kemel to, like, I think you're going to see him get in here pretty soon. But it's time for him to come up here and go, right? Like, I understand he's only 21. I get that. You know, he has played at this point, I don't know, 100-something games, 150 games when you factor in regular season and playoffs, maybe more than that with Milwaukee. That's a pretty good amount of time that he's been down there. So, like, that's somebody you need to see as the year goes on, that you need to walk away in April and be like, yeah, I think he might be pretty good. Like, he doesn't have to come in and score 30 goals for you this year, but, like, he needs to show you something at the NHL level. So,
sure.
I think, you know, another thing Barry Trotz talked a lot about yesterday was, you know, he didn't want all these young guys to just come in together and get their heads caved in. And I understand that. I do. Because sometimes I think that can be detrimental. However, like, I think we're not that far away, whether it's in a few weeks, whether it is all the way until the trade deadline, where you start moving on from some of these guys, which they absolutely need to do with these veterans, where you're going to have to stick some of these kids in there and just see how they handle it. And maybe you don't do it right now. And maybe that is – I know a lot of Predators fans want to just start it. Just go. Start trading people. And I understand that.
It's coming.
Maybe you do buy a little bit of time over the next few months, and hopefully they're ready at that time. But you're going to need to see them at some point this year, a lot of these guys.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I get when he talks about that. You know, he certainly knows that. I mean, he's been in this league, in this game forever, and he's seen players develop, and I'm sure he's seen some examples of players who – lost their confidence. But they're also, it's funny, again, when you compare the sports and you look at a guy like Cam Ward, we just talked about to get sacked 70 times. I think there's also a little bit of, okay, get up here, get your ass kicked, and yeah, you get through it, and you're better for it.
Yeah. Well, and look, I didn't think Matt would, like, ever, after having watched him play last year, he got in for like four games or whatever it was. It was probably more than that, but he got in a few games at the end of last year. And I was like, I mean, you know, probably needs a year in Milwaukee. And then he has a great offseason, and he comes into camp, and if you ask Andrew Burnett, he's best player in camp. He got hurt, and then he come back in, and he's been really good. Like, to me, Matthew Wood is going to be here. Like, he's not going to Milwaukee. He's going to be here and needs to be here the whole time. We need more guys like that. Like, you need guys that say, hey, this is my opportunity. I'm running with it, and it's time to go. And I just don't know. Like, one texter brings up, he keeps bringing up players like Schaefer, LaRue and Kemel, like they're some kind of game changers, and they aren't that caliber of player. You know, I don't have high expectations for Reed Schaefer. I think he's going to be like a fourth line guy. We'll see. LaRue, if things go really well for him, maybe a middle six player. Kemel needs to be a top six player. He's a high first round pick. He's got a great shot. We'll see on him. But again, it goes back to the fundamental questions. They got a lot of prospects. They got a lot of young guys. Frankly, they got a lot of young guys that I think can be good. How many of them can be great? Because they need a few of those.
Yeah. They need that. They need more Matthew Wood stories. And certainly Brady Martin. I mean, there's optimism. There should be. But they also, like, to me, they need, like, some, like, luck and, like, get McKenna.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, they need some luck here. They need a lucky break.
Let's head back to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Nate to the program. Nate, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Morning, guys. My thing with the Preds, and I guess it just stems from what I listened to on DVD yesterday. I'm going to call in today to tell them the same thing. I understand we don't fully know what prospects are going to be. I fully understand that. But to me, there's too much use of the word hope when it comes to prospects. Wouldn't you think if you had great scouts, and I'm not saying that the Preds don't, but if you scouted really well and you drafted really well, which is not easy, then you wouldn't have to use the word hope, it seems like, all the time.
Well, thanks for calling it. I think you always hope until there's proof of concept.
Sure, things are very scarce.
Yeah, look, it was this time last year that people were watching Connor Bedard, and they were like, yeah, he's good. Is he ever going to be great? Because, it was kind of a struggle for him halfway through last year. Now, it wasn't like he was going 15 games without scoring a goal or anything.
But he wasn't lighting
the world on fire. And now, you look at Bedard, and again, the Predators don't have anybody like Bedard, so I totally understand that. But he and Celebrini are just setting the world on fire right now. He's got 29 points in 20 games, 13 goals, 16 assists. It looks like he is going to be every bit as good as people thought he was going to be, which is not good for Predators fans, by the way. So I think there's hope with most of these guys, even the great players, right? There's hope with most of these guys until there's proof of concept. So I don't have any problem with, the hope. There's no other way to really go about it with some of your young guys, because sometimes you just don't know. These young guys can check every box, but that's the problem when you're drafting kids when they're 17 and 18 years old. Some of them turn into what you think they're going to be, and some of them don't. They just stop. There's a lot of hope that Philip Tomasino is going to be a great player. He wasn't. He isn't, right? Yeah. And now it's with two separate organizations. So that's just where they're at right now.
I remember reading some idiotic column in the Tennessean about Evi Tolvanen and how amazing he was going to be. I don't remember who wrote that crap, but yeah, it happens.
Yeah. Did you say Evi Tolvanen? It's even better.
Did I just say Evi?
Yeah.
Evi Tolvanen?
Evi Tolvanen. Ellie's brother?
Yeah, his twin brother. He's He's actually better than him. Alex says, what do you think about Evangelista? I'm like, he's okay. Said, illuminating. Thanks, Joe. I don't know what to tell you, Alex. It's not – he's another example of a guy who there was a lot of hope, and there was – actually, I thought there was a lot of promise 2 years ago, and he's fine.
Yeah, I think he's been fine this year, too. I think he's been decent. Of their problems this year, I don't know that I'd necessarily include him high on that list.
I wouldn't include him on the problems list either, The previous conversation was, what's this guy going to be? And I just, I don't know that he's ever going to be,
He's like a middle six guy.
Yeah.
Which, again, I've said this 1,000 times.
You need
times
those.
Him.
You certainly
That's
need
fine.
Those.
Like, he's fine. But how many of those guys, you need more than just those guys to win? And how many great prospects do they have?
You need Forsbergs, and you need what Stamkos was before he came to Nashville and guys like that.
Exactly. So, and if Evangelista goes along with guys like that, then great.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But if you're relying on him, I think we've seen enough from Evangelista to say this. If you're relying on him to be a key member of your future in terms of driving play, that is not going to happen. It's not. 615-737-1025. Is our phone number. We will get into the Cam Ward front coming up next. Some comments from yesterday that I want to get Joe's thoughts on. And Joe has something out there that he'd like to send a message to the NFL media at large. We'll do it next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. The MTSU Blue Raiders taking on Sam Houston tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Catch all the action on Totally Hits 93.3 with coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. We'll have TD with us at 8 o'clock. Looking ahead to, frankly, what could be a bloodbath on Sunday between the Titans and the Seahawks.
Oh, yeah, the Titans play the Seahawks this week.
They do.
That should be fun.
Yeah, should be nice. Looking forward to that. Joe, you have a message for media at large as it relates to one Cameron Ward. What is said message?
Well, as it relates to anything, but yeah, he's the example here. I just, and I can't get into the heads of all these people, But I see back and forth about Cam Ward, which we constantly engage in. And I will admit some of this is inspired by our buddy Stilly, who, by the way, randomly texted me last night because I guess the Patriots have had this incredible good luck of injury or something. So now
I guess it wasn't the Titans trainer, huh?
Like, you're telling me you think this proves that the Titans have a bad trainer? Shut up, man. But Stilly,
he's spending his Thursday night doing that. Yes.
Yeah. But he's an example of he's out on Cam Ward. I see some clips. I can't listen to him, you know, all the time. But like he's totally out of course. He is the worst quarterback ever. It's hopeless. It's over. Okay. And so now he's funny because he has how many years did he spend like making fun of like metrics and underlying numbers and stuff, and now he's throwing all of them out there to prove that Cam Ward stinks. Listen, Cam Ward, I don't know what he's going to be. But if you are someone who is doing this by only box score scouting, and I'm talking all the underlying numbers too, just don't comment. Like, it's pointless. All those numbers, I value them. They're good. They're good numbers to use. And especially they're good, I mean, just to have a context on everything that's happening with a team, with a league, with whatever. But, like, they don't come close, in my mind, to watching someone play after play, week after week.
Yeah.
I don't really care. Like, he's throwing these numbers out. Other people are, too. I see So what you have is you have some of the film people, especially, like, Titans film people, who really get into that, that screaming at, like, the numbers people who are, like, he's the worst ever. They're like, look at this throw. I mean, I don't care. Like, if you are just – and, again, I think both sides are can take it too far, right? Now, if you're doing film, I'm not saying the film watchers and cutter uppers are only putting the good stuff out there, but it seems like it's probably a little bit more positive. Again, you can look at some of these throws, watch them over and over again, and say, holy crap, that's an amazing throw.
Yeah.
You can go back to Malik Willis's college tape and talk yourself into him being the greatest quarterback prospect of all time, and also the worst. Just cut it. But the people who only do the numbers, it's just like, and I think it's kind of obvious sometimes when that's the case, you're not bringing any value to the, you're really not bringing any value to the conversation, or you're bringing very, very little value. It's just not enough context.
It needs to be a roadmap. It's the same thing. Like, I get into this with hockey analytics all the time too. It's the same thing. They're very useful. They can tell a lot about what's going on out there. But if they're the only thing you use, like if they're the only metric that you go by, and it's just like, well, what does the spreadsheet tell me? That's probably not a good way to operate. Like, right. They need to be a roadmap. And it's the same thing with Ward. Like, it was interesting having the conversation with Charles yesterday because I guess I wasn't aware of it either in terms of, like, just how much he's being sacked. And it is a fair question to ask of, like, how much of that is on the O-line, how much of that is on him. I mean, his sack percentage, which is, you know, it's a metric Pro Football Reference throws out there, which is how much you're sacked, you know,
based on when you're dropping back.
He's at 11%. It's 10.99%. That's a freakishly high number of how many times he's being sacked dropping back to pass.
Yeah, and that's a great example right there. It's like, if you just go by the numbers, I mean, I guess you can, I don't know, okay, so you can then from there, whose fault is it?
Yeah,
is it him or is it? Watch him play. Watch games. I understand a lot of people don't want to watch the Titans. Okay, but then don't pretend to be an expert on Cam Ward based on your analytics. And again, I'll flip it around. If there are good underlying numbers and all that with him on a particular day or whatever, it's like, okay, I don't need him. I watched him play.
Right.
I mean, at the end of the year, is it good to like? Is it do the stats matter and all that? Like, okay, let's see what they're. And I think the traditional stats still matter too. By the way, sure, but like you just these things they help tell more of the story. They're important. They're useful when they are gospel and solo gospel used that way. Now it's first of all, also it's just like sounds like a terrible existence.
I think if you're, to your point, if you're being intellectually honest and you're watching Cam Ward play, this is probably the conclusion that you're coming away with, most people. He's missing a lot of throws that NFL quarterbacks can't miss. The throw that he made, you know, for example, last week to Chig on the sideline late in the game. It's a heck of a throw, right? I mean, it's a heck of a throw. And he makes a few of those a game where you're like, yeah, I mean, that is why he was taken first overall. And also, Joe, as you're watching all these things and you're seeing all these numbers and you're taking all these things into account, you're looking around, you're like, well, okay, so there's Van Jefferson. He's throwing the ball too. And there's Alec Iomanner and Mason Kinsey. He's throwing the ball too out there. And, oh, by the way, depending on what day it is, the man door swinging wide open over there. On maybe another week, J.C. Latham's flat on his back and Max Crosby's running over the top of him. Like, all these things are happening. And if you watch it closely, like, it's pretty easy to see it, right? Like, there's a lot of problems. Cam Ward has some problems of his own. And while all that's going on, you'll make a few plays in a game where you're like, yeah, okay, cool. I like that. That's why he was drafted number one overall, right there.
Yeah. I just, like, and so through any of the, whatever you're using right now, I it'll always, for me, I guess, right now, go back to, if you are convinced, like still he is, he's absolutely a bust, it's over, or convinced, like, there are definitely some Cam dudes out there who are just, you know, he is, without question, going to be great. I don't understand how you could possibly pretend. Like, if you follow this league and you've watched this league for any amount of time, how you could pretend to know. You don't know.
Well, and there's something going on, not to bring up one of your boys and to give you a chance to toot your own horn here a little bit.
Mm.
But there's a story in the league right now that's going on that is kind of a perfect example of this, right? Like, and this player is not perfect. I don't know that he's ever going to be a great player. I don't know that he's ever going to be living up to the number one pick in the draft. But, you know, basically a year and a couple of weeks into his career, people thought Bryce Young sucked and didn't deserve to be in the league anymore, right? Like, he got benched.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I'm watching him on Sunday, and I realize he's playing against Atlanta on Sunday. But he's going 31 of 45 for 448 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, a quarterback rating of 123.2. You look at his numbers this year, he's 6-4, 62.7% completion percentage, almost 2,000 yards, 14 touchdowns, 7 picks. Like, he's not a superstar. He's probably not ever going to be a superstar.
But he's getting better.
But he's getting a lot better. And his team around him getting a little bit better.
Right.
I mean, they're in the playoff picture in the NFC. And if you just said that when he, you know, right when he was getting benched, people would have thought you were nuts.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes it just takes a minute in this league.
So that level of performance in year three for Cam Ward, what do people think about that?
I mean, right now,
it's not going to get. Nobody's getting excited about it.
Nobody's getting excited about it. Like, but like, there's also probably going to come a point, and I don't think this is a huge hot take, Joe, because we talked about this before the draft. There's probably going to come a point where every Titans fan is going to have to realize that he's not Patrick Mahomes, he's not Joe Burrow, which he was never going to be, by the way.
Yes.
Like, unless it some miracle took place. So what is good enough to continue along with him? And that's the conversation we had basically all freaking summer after he was drafted. Like, what do you guys want him to be?
Yep.
Because everybody who thinks he's going to be just this upper crust elite of the elite player, maybe he turns into that, but the likelihood strongly suggests that he will not.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's, of all the outcomes, that's probably the least likely, you know, like the smallest percentage if you took a bunch of categories. And then, you know, I would say then probably the next smallest would be that he just completely flames out and he's like, you know, out of this job at some point next season. I don't think that's likely either, you know. But, you know, like the conversation is always going to be around number one overall pick, so I'm sure Panthers fans might still be like, well, gosh, he's still not the number one overall pick type player. But, I mean, are they happy that their team's winning in some of their quarterback looks like he can play a little bit? Because, I mean, that's the type of expectation you have to brace yourself for if you're a Titans fan.
And, again, on that standpoint, you're talking about a 5'10", which may be generous, listed quarterback there, too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, you know, you're allowed to get better in this league. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back into the Titans a little bit later in the program. TD joining us at 8 o'clock to look ahead to the Titans and the Seahawks. We will look ahead to Diego Pavia's final, we think, college football game at home coming up tomorrow, coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.